This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
In 1967, Elaine Konigsberg, a stay-at-home mom living in the New York suburbs, started writing children's books under the name E.L. Konigsberg, and she won a Newbery Medal, the highest honor in children's literature, right out of the gate. The book is called, and it's a rather baroque title, From the Mixed-Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. It's about two siblings who run away from home, but unlike some of the other literary runaways, Claudia and Jamie don't raft the Mississippi or take up residence in a boxcar. They have a more distinguished hideaway in mind.
It's the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It's a castle, Jamie, my Camelot. I've been there and it's a perfect place for us to stay. You'll be Sir James, a knight of the round table.
You gotta be Sir Claude.
I'm Lady Guinevere, King Leodogran's ravishingly beautiful daughter. Shall we ascend, Sir James?
Why not?
Konigsberg's book has been a classic ever since. It inspired two films. More than that, it inspired 5 decades of children to imagine the Metropolitan Museum not as a place your parents might drag you on a rainy day, but somewhere you might go all on your own to get lost in and have adventures. One of those children is, or was, Gia Tolentino, now a contributor to The New Yorker. And a couple of weeks ago, she did just that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the galleries are now closed for the evening. Please proceed to the exit.
I'm Gia Tolentino, and recently I snuck into the Met after hours on a rainy Wednesday and got to run around while no one was there, which has been a dream of mine ever since I was little and read E.L. Konigsberg's From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. I think it's impossible to read the book and not want to be in the Met and have it to yourself the way that they do. It's this achievable adventure. You read the book and you think, I could do this tomorrow. And I did.
They wandered back to the rooms of fine French and English furniture. It was here Claudia knew for sure that she had chosen the most elegant place in the world to hide. She wanted to sit on the lounge chair that had been made for Marie Antoinette, or at least sit at her writing table. But signs everywhere said not to step on the platform, and some of the chairs had silken ropes strung across the arms to keep you from even trying to sit down. She would have to wait until after lights out to be Marie Antoinette.
Well, you know, in the book, there's one time where they're almost, the guards are operating on something of an irregular schedule, and Jamie almost gets caught, and she talks about miles and miles of time. That's such a beautiful description of walking through the museum, where you're literally walking through eras.
At last she found a bed that she considered perfectly wonderful, and she told Jamie that they would spend the night there.
Wow, I'm so sleepy all of a sudden. We just walked into a dark gallery in the European Sculpture and Decorative Arts wing, and we are approaching this big ornate canopy bed that's the closest thing that's currently on display to the bed where Claudia sleeps in the book, and it's towering, and it looks like a birthday cake, and there are these like satiny light blue curtains, and the bed is very high up, like a kid would have to hoist herself up and really crawl in. The thing is, you know, the real thing to do would be to sleep on the floor behind the bed, because then really nobody could see you. I think I'm a little more practical than Claudia. I wasn't into luxury as a kid, but I was into secrets. And so I think I would have tried to curl up on that chair behind this little ornate screen. When kids read this book, there's a certain type of feeling that the book gives you, which is that you are able to do so much more if left to your own devices than you are in your everyday life.
Lady Claudia and Sir James quietly walked to the entrance of the restaurant. They easily climbed under the velvet rope that meant that the restaurant was closed to the public. Of course, they were not the public. They shed their clothes and waded into the fountain. Claudia had taken powdered soap from the restroom. She had ground it out into a paper towel that morning. Even though it was freezing cold, she enjoyed her bath.
So we are where the Fountain Restaurant used to be, which is the setting of what is arguably the most memorable scene, which is where there is a big fountain in the middle of the restaurant, and they realize they can slip through the ropes and take baths in it, and also pick up all of the coins that are on the floor, and then they can afford more lavish meals at the automat. It's nice because there's a little fountain, even though there's no more giant fountain with the dancing bronze sprites in it anymore. You can still hear it. When you're a kid, you feel like the person you are on the inside does not transpose to the outside, and you feel essentially unknowable, and like no one sees you clearly because you can't communicate the inside of your head clearly at all. And that's why Claudia runs away. And the museum is this physical space that corresponds to this idea that she has of herself, where there are hidden corners everywhere, and there are secrets and there are surprises. But as a kid, I think what I liked about it was just that she ran away and she didn't miss her parents. And she had a great time and she never got scared. So we just left Claudia's bedroom, walked through medieval art, and now we're in this sort of Italian Renaissance room staring at a Cupid sculpture that Michelangelo sculpted when he was 15.
A statue of an angel. Her arms were folded, and she was looking holy. As Claudia passed by, she thought that that angel was the most beautiful, most graceful little statue she had ever seen.
So Claudia gets really obsessed with this angel statue that's on special display at the museum. She's sort of in contact with something that inspires her for the first time in her life. And her reaction to it is she wants to hug it. She wants to find out everything about it. She wants to devote her life to finding out where it came from and what it means. And, you know, I think maybe that's an early draw for a lot of kids with this book. It's an encounter with adult concern and how the many confusing ways that manifests. Yeah, she just desperately wants to hug it. Yeah. I've never wanted to hug a statue. it's so touching, right?
When you hug someone, you learn something else about them, an important something else. Jamie shrugged his shoulders. Both looked at Angel a long time.
I have a younger brother who is 5 years younger than me. I think Jamie is just 2 years younger than Claudia. But our relationship was pretty similar, I think, to theirs. I was more pedantic and also more adventurous. And he was more practical and very calm and occasionally very surprising the way Jamie is.
Jamie looked over at Claudia. He shouldn't have. Claudia looked as satisfied as the bronze statue of the Egyptian cat she was standing near. The only real difference between them was that the cat wore tiny golden earrings and looked a trifle less smug.
Oh, is this the cat? Oh, the cat does look very smug. The first time I came here, I was in 9th grade, and I had driven to Toronto with my family from Texas and then driven back down, and we had gone through New York City on the way back down. And I was in that Claudia state of mind where I was like, everybody, leave me alone and respect the adult I am. And I went to the Met with my little brother, and actually, as it does for the kids in the book, it kind of calmed us down. We were awed and walking around in the big crowds and staring at things, and we're too overstimulated to be fussy. Yeah, I think me and my brother could do well hiding in the Met. Of all the museums in New York City, I would definitely pick the Met to hide out in, that's for sure. Walking around the Met today, there's so much from the book that is no longer physically present, but something about it still feels powerfully and fundamentally the same. I have never enjoyed getting messages after writing a piece more than after this piece. I got this one incredible email from a woman named Claudia. She wrote to me and said, in 1967, I was 11 years old and in the sixth grade. A smart teacher in the library one day handed me the book and said, Claudia, you need to read this. And she loved it. She became obsessed with it. And she wrote to me, I'm reading from it now. This past March, my husband and I made our first trip to New York City. I have to tell you, I was so happy to be there and send my private thanks to E.L. Konigsberg and my prayers by a stained glass window. I just thought it was amazing that it was just as magical for her, and it had retained that magic for a solid 50 years. It had changed her life.
Gia Tolentino, and From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler by E.L. Konigsberg. We heard Jill Clayburgh reading the audiobook.